KXNO. Keith Murphy.
This is your time.
Andy Fails.
Whoa, I don't play defense.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
Just a bit outside.
On 1460 KXNO.
Hour number two of the Murph and Andy Show. Andy Fails, Keith Murphy, and Andrew Downs with you here on a Wednesday. Andy, did you see that Theo Epstein is being sued by a couple at a spring training, the million-dollar house that Theo and his family stayed in?
What'd they do to it?
Well, it's not they. It's their 10-pound dog, Winston. He allegedly stained the tile and stone flooring and wood door jams, cabinets, and furniture with his pee.
Is he on medication or something?
Winston?
Sometimes you put a dog on medication, their pee turns like into a Roundup.
It sounds like that's what it is.
Like excessive urination?
Excessive urination. And
just not potty trained, just lifting his leg all over the place. Huh?
And it was 2015. Like Brian Smith just asked us, Royal Mile Inbox, what took this so long? Yeah, why do you wait 4 years?
2015.
Yeah, that's a lengthy wait. Epstein has responded saying that everybody is movable at this point, including Winston. So even Winston could be traded after this peeing lawsuit. Let's find out what's trending Iowa.
Trending Iowa, powered by Carl Chevrolet Commercial Sales, home of Central Iowa's largest commercial selection. Visit them today at The Rock.
Trending Iowa, Iowa State Basketball Media Day is today. The Cyclones return just two of the top seven scorers from last season, but one of them is sophomore Tyrese Halliburton, who today was named preseason All-Big 12.
Yeah, that's great. He's a good interview too. He's a charismatic guy.
Heck of a smile.
Yeah, great smile. This is a good guy to be the leader of this team going into the season. And they had that Rajir Bolton. He's eligible,
yeah.
So that improves the outlook of the season. And is it Prentice Nixon?
That's right.
He played for Larry Eustace or. Was recruited by Eustace at Colorado State. These days, you have to, you really have to try to keep up with the roster. It moves so quickly. I mean, Lindell Wigginton should be coming into his junior year, and he's actually playing closer to us, but it's going to be at Wells Fargo Arena. It's a lot to keep up with.
It is, right? I mean, these things change over, not overnight, but season to season. It's really hard to, if you were to take a season off, like, and go to Sedan or something, and then you come back. You could come back to a team that you do not recognize at all.
Yeah, if you're an Iowa State fan, you would have done that almost. You know, between last year to this year, even today, I was looking at the stats to say two of seven of their top scorers, and I was like, oh yeah, that Taylen Horton Tucker, he's not there, and Lard, okay, yeah, he's not there either, because I think they lost what three underclassmen to going pro. Yeah.
Two of their 11 three. Top scorers.
Right.
Okay, you're reaching too far.
But then
there.
You bring in several guys from, you know, grad transfers and yeah. Things like that. So
yep.
It's like, oh, okay.
And you can kind of not miss a beat, too, if those guys are pretty equal right. To the guys you lost.
Cameron Lard, hard to imagine him, in the NBA someday. And Taylen Horton Tucker, he was just 18 playing last year. What's the update on him? He was drafted by ended
Lakers,
up with the Lakers,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he did. I guess I don't know for sure.
I mean,
if
he's got G League written all over him for a couple of years. I would think.
I think so. I Google him. The first headline is Taylen Horton Tucker yet to make preseason debut. So he's with the Lakers right now in the preseason. Was apparently with them in China. I would guess last week, but yet to make his debut. I'm guessing he'll be a kind of an up and down guy for a couple of years.
Yeah, he needs more development. You could see that at Iowa State. He could be the best player on the floor for 5 minutes and disappear for 5 minutes.
Trending Iowa RAGBRAI will continue despite the resignation of its staff yesterday and the announcement of a competing ride. Former director TJ Juskovitz spoke with the Morning Rush today. You can hear that interview in its entirety right now at KXNO.com.
Yeah, I will go back and listen to that based on the two clips we played here. It sounds like an interesting interview, and I know Heather in particular is a veteran of RAGBRAI, so I'm sure she had
I'm
going to
guess that Heather and Travis did a pretty good interview there.
They did.
And
they really
seemed
did.
Pretty plugged in and pretty like they really hit him with some – real questions.
Not afraid to ask him tough questions, you know, as he was in studio with them. So, yeah, definitely go back and give that a listen. Finally, trending Iowa, Oskaloosa's Xavier Foster completed his final official visit last weekend at Iowa. He tells the Des Moines Register he plans to announce his college plans on November 11th, just before the national signing day.
Wow, that's interesting. He's got an actual date. He's going to make the announcement. That's how it goes now. Yeah, he's like a near 7-footer that shoots threes.
I think a lot of people expect him to pick Iowa State, but I think it was down to, what, 3 or 5, and Iowa and Iowa State both in his final choices. I think it was 5 because there were a couple of odd ones, like Providence. And Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
And then Iowa State and one other I can't think of off the top of my head. What I've heard is I think a lot of, especially Cyclone fans, expect him to be a Cyclone.
Man, I don't have any idea what he's going to do with either. Xavier Foster. And he would seem like a guy you might get for a year if he ends up being as expected. And that has dampened my enthusiasm some for recruiting because you're hoping.
Totally. When you know that the guy's too good, he's like too good.
Well, even last week when the Iowa basketball media day and they announced that Joe Wieskamp was, I think, second team, or I don't remember how they laid it, but he was preseason all Big Ten. And there's a part of me, I should be excited about that as an Iowa fan. There's a part of me that's like, shoot, darn.
Oh, yeah.
They know how good he is.
I
don't want him to leave after this year.
It's like we're talking about yesterday. NFL scouts think Brock Purdy might not have enough arm strength. Yeah. That's great news for Cyclone fans.
He may play four years.
Good. Yeah, you know, from like where I'm sitting, if I can, just from my role as a sportscaster, if you tell me, Xavier Foster might go to Iowa State, or Bowen Bourne, who committed to UNI, but let's say he had committed to Drake. If I had to pick between those two from where I'm sitting, I'd be more excited about the Bowen Bourne news because I think he's really good and exciting. And I'd watch him play for 4 years, and Xavier Foster does not feel like an even 2-year player to me at this point with that kind of size and
shooting.
How highly he's regarded.
That's it for Trending Iowa, powered by Carl Chevrolet Commercial Sales.
Stick with basketball here for a moment. I haven't touched on this much. It's everywhere nationally, so you don't really need much from us on this. But LeBron James, who has been an outspoken voice for civil rights and a vocal critic of President Trump, and a guy who has never been in trouble of any kind, is again today hearing widespread deserved criticism, I think, for questioning the timing of Rockets GM Daryl Morey's tweet, which supported Hong Kong and pro-democracy, human rights, and kind of condemns criticism against the government. There's just no way to defend this without it coming back to the obvious, which is there's so much money at stake from China. I mean, it just looks hypocritical in every way. Values are being compromised because there's so much money at stake. And Andy, I could go deep on this, but Dave Chappelle nails this point in 45 seconds in a previously recorded stand-up.
That's why I don't have a sneaker deal, because if you say something that people don't like, they'll take your f***ing shoes off. If Martin Luther King had a sneaker deal, we'd still be on the back of the bus. They always true. The Nike exec come up, "Hi, Martin, we need you to tone down the talk of civil rights and blacks being humans. It's upsetting our southern distributors." "But I don't understand. I thought that's why I had a sneaker deal in the first place." "Not quite. Really, it's a walking shoe, and we like the marching, but try to understand."
I can't make the point better than that. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, LeBron James, who to his credit has been outspoken about a lot of things where he, in my mind, has been on the right side of things. He looks like a total hypocrite. You can't stand against whatever it is. If you're in America, you should be pro-democracy and for being able to criticize a government without consequences.
You wonder who he's got around him kind of talking over these decisions with him, why they couldn't point that out. Or, you know, I think sometimes if you're with one group one day, you're thinking one thing, and you're with a different group the next day, and then all of a sudden your view on the whole thing changes. And has he just been high on China lately, and therefore he went that direction? I don't know. It's hard to see this big picture from over here. We don't see what's going on in China. We don't know what's going on in China. We hear about it a little bit, but we don't see it. I feel like we're really disconnected from human rights issues in a lot of parts of the world. Really disconnected.
I know I am.
And it's probably, you know, you hear protests in Hong Kong. How many people really know what that's about? What's going on over there? And so you really have to be careful, right? I mean, if you're somebody that has the kind of gravity that he does, to be really careful with this stuff. But I'll also point out that I'm pretty confident in saying that every single one of us at some point in our lives either already has or will be forced or feel like they're forced to choose money over their morals, whether it's just making a safe decision for your family's well-being that is tied to money rather than taking a principled stand, or whether it's, you know, some real principled stand where you stand up and, you know, put your ass on the line. We are going to pick the security of finances over the moral stand. We are all going to do that, whether it's a really big deal or whether it's a small one. It's just hard, and I'm not making an excuse for LeBron. I'm just saying the rest of us need to be kind of careful before we chuck a big stone from our glass house.
Yes.
It's hard to do that. I mean, I try to do that too. I try to set principles for myself and my family, but there are times where it is just too hard and the timing is not right to do that. Whether it's donating to a certain cause that you've supported every year and you really believe in, and maybe you have to take a year off from your annual big donation because you've had other expenses come up when you know damn well some of those expenses were not necessary.
Sure.
You know, whether it's you know, telling your kid that they can't have something that is really important, and part of the reason is because you bought something for yourself. What, you know, whatever it is, there are little decisions that hit us eventually. This is a big one. He's a really big character in the world. It's very visible. But you know, he was voting with his wallet there.
He was, and how much money does he need? I mean, he's got, it's always easy to say when you're not that person, but he's, you know, he's worth so much money.
Well, these guys want to get into the fray at some point, and they want to get out of it at other points. And Michael Jordan famously stayed out of something, a very important election, and
that's what
North
LeBron
Carolina
should have done then, is just stay quiet, because by speaking out
no doubt.
he's for a, unless he
you
comes,
wonder if they have any idea of the magnitude of their speaking out, though, or their even a slight gesture, because that gets amplified a bazillion times at his level.
If he doesn't mea culpa quickly here, every time he takes a stand on anything from here on out, yeah, he's
not going to be taken seriously.
He's going to be ridiculed for it. It's it'll be something to keep an eye on. I know there's plenty of coverage out there on that, so we'll move on to the NFL, where we've talked way too much about officiating this season, but if you watch the Packers and Lions Monday night, you can't help it. I mean, Lions fans, although they had three turnovers, they turned into 9 points. T.J. Hockenson had what looked like it was going to be a touchdown catch and a rare, I don't know if you'd call it drop, but as he hits the ground, his elbow hits and he didn't hang on to it. There were some missed opportunities for the Lions, but you can say with a reasonable confidence, if they're not jobbed on a couple of calls, they win that game. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal in that division, because it's a tough division with every team in it has a chance.
Yeah, Packers at first place. It's a road game at Lambeau where they've never done well. It's a really huge win for the morale of that team and the fan base if they get that win. I can understand them being really, really upset about this. And if you're just a casual fan, you don't care about either one of those teams, you hate this just as much, because all of a sudden the referees, you're not supposed to notice, were the deciding factors in the game, which is the last thing that's supposed to happen.
Yeah, Vice President of Football Operations for the NFL, Troy Vincent, said the second illegal use of the hands penalty against Trey Flowers, the defensive end, in the fourth quarter was, quote, not something that you want to see called. Vincent added said he'll reach out to the team's front office. Penalties.
Yeah, that's about he's barely making a stink there.
And in that area, kind of inside the shoulder pads, unless the hand is up in the face or on the face mask, those guys are just kind of allowed to grab each other and push and hold. There's some form of holding on every play. That should not have been called, and that did not help the frustration people have with the officiating. Jalen Ramsey is traded to the Rams for two first-round picks and a fourth-round pick.
That's a really steep price, but, I mean, when you consider that so many first-round draft picks, especially if you're a good team like the Rams, don't end up panning out, given two first-round draft picks, giving two maybes for an absolutely is, that actually seems pretty fair.
Well, and they're in a window of opportunity. I mean, they were in the Super Bowl last year. Right now, they're kind of stalled. They're stuck in neutral. They need something. Mm-hmm. Marcus Mariota, the former Heisman Trophy winner, he has been benched for Ryan Tannehill.
Was he a top five pick out of Oregon, too? Maybe top two? He was way up there. Yeah, boy, those guys slide.
Was he not the first overall pick? How long ago
I don't
is
think
that
so.
The Bucks quarterback.
Yeah, Jameis Winston.
Oh, Jameis Winston. Were they same year?
I believe so. I want to see if I can find that.
They both won the Heisman, right? Different years?
Yes.
Back-to-back?
Second overall pick in 2015.
Okay. Jameis Winston was number one pick. Yeah, and you're right. 2013 Heisman was Winston. 2014 Heisman was Mariota.
You wonder how...
Brandon Scherff went fifth in that draft.
You wonder if Baker Mayfield is going to be a guy like this, too. Because once that slide starts, it doesn't usually stop.
Not for quarterbacks.
Throws a lot of interceptions.
He does.
And he
doesn't... Seems like they've kind of figured him out.
There's something about him. I do like that he pushes back sometimes on whatever narrative there is out there, most famously probably with Colin Cowherd. Those two have gone back and forth and even went on the show, which I give him credit for. He sat right there and held his own with Colin Cowherd. But at some point, you want your quarterback to not take up every fight that comes his way. It's like you don't have to...
Just rise up. He picks these fights, though.
He picks some of them.
Whether it's with his old coach
to,
who's not doing anything to him or... You know, opponents and stuff. I mean, you want him to just stay above that fray, be a leader, work on his own team. That, you know, it's nice that Cleveland got what they wanted from him in the fact that they needed someone, they needed a hood ornament, you know.
Yeah,
a
face of the franchise.
Yeah. They needed somebody to stand up and say, hey, we're the Cleveland Browns and we're going to be proud. Well, okay, that's great at first, but then, you know what, shut up and be a good quarterback, right? Quit throwing the ball behind your receivers so they can, you know, get one hand on it, bobble it up in the air, and then gets picked off by the defense. Or, you know, do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You don't want to be...
Take the fall for your team when it's struggled and it's, you know, mostly your fault.
He's got some of that Kevin Durant in him where you could see Baker Mayfield opening like a burner account just to fight back with people.
You can see if things go south that personality suddenly becoming a problem and not a... Not a plus.
For sure. See if this season unravels. We'll have the play of the day, and Mr. Movie is in. The hashtag is Mr. Movie on the Royal Mile inbox at Murph_Andy. And today's out-of-the-box topic, actors who play two or more parts. Two or more. Because you could be, Michael Keaton in Multiplicity, to name one movie where an actor plays a couple of parts. Two or more parts in a movie. Bring one to our attention, and Mr. Movie,
iHeartRadio. Hi, I'm Tom Coates, Director of Consumer Credit of Des Moines. You have probably heard the ads that say you have a right to settle your debts for a fraction of what you owe. Debt settlement guarantees charged-off accounts, likely lawsuits, garnishments, credit scores in the cellar, and sky-high fees. We've seen too many of these already. Before you head down that alley, please give us a call at 515-287-6428 or find us on the web at consumercredit.com.
Get your podcast. It's time for the play of the day, powered by the fastest short track on the planet, Iowa Speedway.
And it's going to get away from Sanchez and go to the screen. Altuve will score on the wild pitch. Back-to-back pitches by Zach Britton in the dirt. And that one finally gets away, and the Astros score and make it 3-0.
Get your season tickets today.
And the Yankees-Astros game today is postponed by expected or perhaps already even in New York City rain. The Nationals can just sit around for the next week and set up their rotation for the World Series. Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. Mike Woody joins us. He's better known far and wide as Mr. Movie.
And now, Murph and Andy go to the movies with Mr. Movie Mike Woody, powered by the team at PMP Small Engines. Get current and past reviews at MrMovieReviews.com.
How are you, Mr. Movie?
Pretty darn good. How are you?
Good. Good. Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Okay. All right. Good.
You know who I haven't talked to in a while is my PMP guy.
Yeah. Why is that? Are you boycotting the place?
No. He was out of town at some show. I went in and tried to buy a blower. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, you know, everybody's, I don't know which one you need. I said, all right, just I'll come visit
you. You need one of those backpack blowers. I've got one really bad.
Oh, it's sweet. And they've got one now.
I got a buddy that cleans.
I think it'll take the paint off your car.
I got a buddy that cleans his car with those. The inside. He takes the floor mats out, opens the doors, and just goes nuts with the backpack blower. Just like blows all the dust and dirt out of there.
I don't know if that's going to work.
Boy, those blowers are awesome. In a football stadium after a game, it sounds like the world's largest swarm of bees coming.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, dinosaur bees. Yeah. That'll get you to move out of there.
Nothing will move leaves like that backpack.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Holy cow.
It's got like that's like the Ghostbusters backpack, right? It's the same thing. It's powered by some kind of nuclear fusion. Mr. Movie, I was going to ask you, because I just watched it, and I thought, boy, this is a sleeper movie. We're always trying to find movies people haven't seen. It was on, I think it was on Amazon Prime. Might also be available on Netflix, but it seemed like something that Andy would enjoy, Pirate Radio. Have you seen that before?
Is that the old movie?
That's like 12 years old, maybe. Have you seen it, AD?
Yeah, so I had never seen or heard of this movie. While we were in the hospital having my daughter over the summer, my wife said, oh, you've never seen this? This movie's fantastic. It's a great movie.
Yeah, it's from the guy who brought us Love Actually and Notting Hill.
Good writer.
Four Weddings and a Funeral, Richard Curtis. And so it's Pirate Radio, and it tells, I'm sure it takes some liberties, but it tells the true story of in the late 60s in Britain and England. I don't think it's all Great Britain, but anyway, they would not play rock and roll music. The radio stations were not allowed to, so these ships
in
set
the late
up,
60s
so these ships set up off the coast. And they just had pirate radio, and these DJs lived on these ships and played rock and roll, and it was listened to by like half of the country.
Yeah, I was going to say, how easy was that?
Simon Conway's first job in radio was on one of those pirate radio ships.
The Beatles
in England.
Oh my goodness!
The Rolling Stones
and the Kinks. Like, they're all in
Zeppelin and jeez. Yeah.
And this movie, really a funny movie.
It is, and the movie gets Bill Nighy.
Yep.
Yeah, he's
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman's great in it. The
Nick
guy
Frost, Kenneth Branagh. It's really good.
The guy who's the best bad roommate in Notting Hill, who's so funny.
Yes,
Rhys Ifans.
Yep,
right.
He's another of the DJs. Good movie. So Pirate Radio, true story. Based on a true story.
Played over at the Varsity.
Yeah, I got to check that out.
Yeah,
that
when I saw it, I was thinking, we got to get that to Andy. Okay.
January Jones in it. I was owned.
That's right. She is, she's not a very, she doesn't do nice things.
You don't like her.
Yeah, let's get to the out-of-the-box topic, which is, why did you choose an actor playing more than one role?
Because in Gemini Man, which we'll talk about in a minute, Will Smith plays two actors.
We're going to get to that. I'm going to there's a bunch came to mind here. This is done more than you would think of, but because it's two distinct roles, and I remember seeing what I thought was going to be an awful movie that would be done in a weekend, and it turned out to be a franchise. Austin Powers and Dr. Evil by Mike Myers.
Austin, I am your father.
Really?
No, not really. I can't back that up.
he's good in these roles, and it's kind of funny if you're an SNL fan over the decades like I am, that Dr. Evil is, the voice is Lorne Michaels, right, and the mannerisms are Lorne Michaels.
But there is no way that this movie works. When you walk in, it's like, there's no way.
This is going to be horrible.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And don't forget Fat Bastard. He also has that character, too.
Yeah, that's in one of the later movies.
That's
movies.
In the second one, I think.
He's also a gold member in the third one.
Right. That's right. He takes on more than a couple.
If I'm not correct, I think he's working on another one.
Well, he hasn't done much lately. He's got a great cameo in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, he does. Sue had no idea who that was.
It's hard to pick him up on that. Andy?
Okay, so this was, I was trying to stay away from the obvious, and I ended up picking one that was still pretty obvious. I figured one of you guys would take Armie Hammer from The Social Network.
Yeah, we've used that a lot in this segment.
Did you go Coming to America?
Did not do Coming to America.
A lot
America.
Of people on Twitter upset that we didn't go with that.
Yeah, I thought one of you guys would do that too. So I was doing the end around here. I ended up picking Mel Brooks, who plays at least two characters in at least two of his movies. He is the Governor William J. LePetitmane in Blazing Saddles, and he's an Indian chief who speaks Yiddish in Blazing Saddles. He's the governor in this clip, though.
Anything else?
Just this urgent telegram from Rockbridge that arrived last Friday.
Last Friday? Read it, read it! You wild bitch.
Sheriff murdered, church meeting bombed, reign of terror must cease. Send your sheriff immediately.
Holy underwear! Sheriff murdered? Innocent women and children blown to bits? We've got to protect our phony baloney job, gentlemen. We must do something about this immediately. Immediately, immediately. Harumph, 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 harumph.
Yeah, all right. So he's, and then he's in History of the World Part 1. He's the king. He's King Louis. And he's just one of the other guys. And he's Takamata in that. All. Jeez, he's got three roles in there. Good old Mel Brooks.
History of the World.
I love that. Yeah. That is a hilarious movie.
I mean, in the credits, he's listed as the piss boy.
Oh, he's also the piss boy. That's right. He's four roles in that movie. I should have picked that one.
That movie.
All right, it's got some great moments. It's not a great movie.
I'm kind of like you. I'm thinking my obvious choice was Mary Poppins with Dick Van Dyke playing two characters there.
That's your obvious choice?
I love Mary Poppins, but I've talked about it too much, so I said, no, I'm not going there. Started to feel like Andy in Godfather, you know, 2.
Yeah, take your pick.
I went with a movie that I don't think a lot of people saw. It's an early Christopher Nolan movie that he and his brother both wrote and stars Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale. So, I mean, it's got a great cast. They both play dual roles in The Prestige.
All I wanted to do was prove that I was a better magician. But you're going to leave me alone.
I don't know what you've done, but you're not afraid to get your hands dirty anymore, are you?
No, not anymore. And I win. Because no one cares about the man in the box, the man who disappears.
This is a good choice, because this is one of those movies that there's some people out there listening to us right now. Maybe they haven't seen The Prestige. It's probably on Netflix or Amazon Prime. This would be a good movie to stumble into. It's good.
Very young Scarlett Johansson in this movie. These guys play two magicians, and there's some competition there, and it's one of those movies that not a lot of people saw.
Yeah. Have you seen Prestige?
I have. Yeah, it's good. I like this movie.
Yeah, it's good. AD, what do you have for maybe you're Coming to America?
Yeah, I didn't go Coming to America, but I did go a different Eddie Murphy movie. So I haven't seen this movie since I was probably 14 years old. But when I saw it when I was 14, it was absolutely hilarious. When I think of Eddie Murphy, I guess first I think of Beverly Hills Cop. The second thing I think of is probably The Nutty Professor, and especially like the iconic dinner table scene.
Hey, what's wrong with you? You're supposed to eat that thing, not scalp it.
Well, Daddy, all the calories in the chicken are found in the skin and in the fat, so I peel it off.
What you talking about? That's where all the fat and calories is.
I don't know why everybody trying to lose weight in the first place. Oprah was a fox. She lose all that weight. Her head look all big, skin hanging all over.
Yes, I hope nothing's wrong with Oprah.
Ain't nothing wrong with Oprah. I seen Oprah on Hard Copy last week with a picture of her.
It's playing like six different members of the family all around this dinner table. It's fantastic.
That dinner table scene is classic. I mean, the rest of the movie's okay, but that scene is so funny that it elevates the whole movie into giving you an impression that maybe the movie is actually better than it is.
Yeah.
That's the power. That could be an out-of-the-box topic of a movie that has one scene that great elevates scene. The whole movie yeah. into making you think it's better than it is. Because that's funny. And he's all those characters.
He is.
Oh, my God. Hercules. You know,
we're about to see him again.
Yes, coming to Netflix.
He's got a stand-up.
He's got a stand up, but there's
but then he's got a dramatic role, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a movie based on what's the name of the character? Dolomite. Like 70s was the blaxploitation, is that what it was called at the time?
Yep.
So Dolomite is an actual this is going to be recreating some of the movies and also what he was like off the scene, and Eddie right. Murphy is supposed to be fantastic.
Yeah, they're
and
talking
that's out
Oscar
this
nomination.
That's out this month on Netflix.
Okay, good.
And in theaters, so you'll have to check that out for us. Also coming out this Friday, straight to Netflix and theaters at the same time, Meryl Streep and Gary Oldman in The Laundromat.
Really?
Yes, and it's Steven Soderbergh directing it. So it's, write that down, Mr. Movie. We'll expect that. So that's coming out this week.
Yeah, have you watched? Steven Soderbergh retired like 10 years ago. And
do I have the wrong guy? It's the maker of Ocean's 11?
No, you probably do, but okay. He just keeps making movies.
It is Steven Soderbergh. Antonio Banderas in it as well.
Yeah, here we go. It's a movie about laundromat. It's these crooks with their pyramid scheme and this one elderly lady who decides she's going to find out where the money went and try to take them down.
I'm guessing that's Meryl.
That's Meryl. Yes, it is.
I was hoping it would be about more than just a laundromat because that's a really boring title.
Yeah,
you're out of soap.
Yeah, jeez. Can I borrow your dryer?
Who's got change?
Let's go to the theater and get us started with Linda Ronstadt, The Sound of My Voice. She has, I think, Parkinson's disease
now. Yeah.
But I was reminded when I was watching the great documentary on the Eagles that, man, in her prime, she could step to the microphone and just blow everybody in the room away.
You know, I'm just not a big Linda Ronstadt fan. My wife is. She loves her. And this thing's been in town for about 3 or 4 weeks, and I keep thinking, oh, it's going to leave. There can't be people seeing this.
You're kind of wanting it to leave. You're thinking, maybe I could get away with not seeing this.
And so we went on a Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. There had to be 75, 80 people in the theater at the floor. It's like people are still flocking into this thing. It is an outstanding documentary. I mean, this may be on my top 10 list of the year. And again, I don't like it.
And you're not a fan.
I was under the assumption that Linda Ronstadt used to work for the Eagles and sang with them. No, she hired Don Henley and Glenn Frey to be in her band.
And then the documentary on the Eagles makes it makes her look really good as like somebody who was very supportive about them going out on their own.
Yeah.
And she wasn't thinking about how it was going to impact her.
And she took one of their greatest songs, which was Going Nowhere, Desperado, and just made it a classic. So it's a really, really good documentary.
All right, what's the grade for this?
It is an A.
An A, okay. Gemini Man is Will Smith in his 20s and Will Smith in his 50s.
Yeah, yeah. He's the movie. Here's how the movie starts. He's in Belgium. He's a hitman. So he's a sharpshooting expert rifleman.
Young or old Will?
Old
at this point.
Will.
Okay.
Yeah, he's on. This is his last. He's not going to do anymore. He's in Belgium. There's a train traveling, and I'm going to lie to you, like 700 miles an hour. And there's a guy sitting in a window. And he's like a mile away from this train, and he picks this guy off as the train is moving. I'm like, okay, this is not a good
going 700
start.
Miles an hour, what's the point in a window?
What?
On a train.
He's got to shoot this guy.
Need the window for the movie.
Yeah, you need the window. The guy was sitting by the window.
All right, so then at some point, young Will Smith shows
young
up.
Young Will Smith
And is he
shows
hunting
up.
Old Will Smith or vice versa?
He is, yeah. He's been sent to take care of the other Will Smith. Clive Owen plays an old agent that worked with Will, and he's gone rogue, and he's gone bad, and he's basically stolen Will Smith's character's a drop of his blood, and now he's created all of these Will Smith. I'm telling you, it was bad. I just sat there wanting it to be over. The action, at times, it kind of looks like one of those old PlayStation games.
So the young Will Smith, does it seem like young Will Smith, or does it seem like a computer-generated deal?
At times, it seems like a young Will Smith, but at times, it does look like a CGI, which is what it is.
All right, what's the grade for this piece of crap?
The grade for this is a C-.
All right. Well, if there's anything that you love, it's the Addams Family movies.
I do like those movies.
I just love the second one.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Family Values is great.
Oh, I could,
summer camp.
I could watch that every day and still laugh at that stupid stuff. This is a cartoon, so it introduces kids to this crazy family that's been around since like the 30s in a comic strip that a guy named, I think it was Charles Addams, drew. And then it became a TV show, and then became a movie, and then another movie. And, you know, it's just, it's very creative. It's very well done. The cast on this one is huge. I mean, you've got Charlize Theron. You've got all of these different people playing tiny little bits. Martin Short shows up. The kids that were in the theater by me were having a blast.
They loved it.
Yeah.
So and it's not too long.
No, it's an hour and like 28 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So
that's good.
It's the perfect time. Gemini Man's too long.
So what's the grade for the Addams Family?
I'm going to give it a B. I mean, it's not a great movie, but it was fun. It's the perfect launch into like a TV cartoon series for kids.
At home video, Stuber, streaming Stuber. That's Dave Bautista, the big guy from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy, and then Kumail Nanjiani, the guy that went to Grinnell.
Oh, yes.
That's not Ina Naja.
Yeah.
No, that's from Office Space.
Yeah, not going to work here anymore.
But it's, you know, it's nice. He plays an Uber driver, and Bautista is a cop, and he has to go find these bad guys, and he basically takes over the Uber driver or the Uber and becomes a buddy film and not a very good one at all.
So that doesn't sound like I need to see it. Opening this weekend, Zombieland Double Tap, Woody Harrelson, Emma Stone. This is 10 years since the...
Now, I haven't seen the original.
I went to
Jay's Comics over on 22nd Street and bought a used Blu-ray yesterday.
Oh, you need to see it.
Yeah. I hear it's great. I just
Bill Murray has one of the best cameos ever in this movie.
And I think he's in this one, too.
They show up at Bill Murray's house. I mean, it's actually Bill Murray's house.
It's great.
Yeah, it's a good cameo. Okay, Maleficent
Mistress of Evil. This is Angelina Jolie. Is it Sleeping Beauty?
Yeah.
Yes.
The evil.
So this is the sequel to her previous remake of Sleeping Beauty.
That's been quite a resurrection for Maleficent. She was asleep for a long time.
Yes,
now
she's
a big time villain again.
She's a badass. Yeah.
She's back. Lucy in the Sky. This is not another Elton John story.
No, it is not. Natalie Portman plays an astronaut who goes into space and something happens.
Oh, this is loosely based on that woman who famously or infamously got in the car and went to knock off her husband's lover. They were in the astronaut program. And what made it kind of a viral story is she wore adult diapers so she wouldn't have to pull over and use the bathroom. And she drove like 22 straight hours.
That's right up your alley. You have long been interested in trying just that.
Yeah.
You have. You've been fascinated with that for years.
I haven't told you guys.
It's your inspiration.
Oftentimes, because you guys get funny sometimes. I oftentimes wear a pair when I'm here.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Yeah, good for you. All right,
yeah,
Lucy,
so this is Natalie Portman and John Hamm's in it, so I don't know.
Johnny Gerwell, Royal Mile Inbox, writes, Michael C. Woody, hit the nail on the head for Joker. Very dark. Might be the first movie I've seen in theaters and questioned if it's okay to even have it in theaters.
Exactly.
Great movie, though. The ending made me feel like there will be more Joker movies. That's a really interesting, I haven't seen it, but that's such an interesting thing to say.
Yeah, I know. These are some of the most interesting reviews. These reviews that you guys have given for Joker are way too interesting for me not to see this movie. Right? I mean, honestly, I basically now just want to see the movie to see what you're talking about.
I think you'll understand exactly what we're...
I guess that's a good review, right? That's the beauty of a good review, right?
Yeah.
The review is so interesting that you want to see
the movie based
on the review. Yeah.
Also, on streaming last week, I finally caught up to Yesterday,
That's out on DVD now. I really...
Yeah, and that's...
It was almost an impulse buy at the checkout counter at Walmart for me the other day.
The director of Slumdog Millionaire... Danny Boyle. So I saw that, and I think I'm recalling your review accurately. I enjoyed it. I'm glad I saw it. I could easily watch it again. I don't think it ever quite caught the magic carpet ride into, you know, special, into greatness. It feels like it's on the edge of that, but it never gets there.
It's no train spotting.
It never got as great as the trailer was.
Yeah.
Because you watch that trailer and it's like, oh, I gotta see.
Yeah, and the first 45 minutes, but then it kind of there's not
the plateau early and
it just doesn't figure out quite where to go, and then there's that strange twist that takes place.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't buy it on DVD, which I don't do. It's worth seeing for sure.
I was gonna say I would watch it again if it was on tonight.
Yeah, it's good. I don't want to be misunderstood. I would give it a B plus. Yeah. I would say see it in the theater or see it.
Yeah.
It's just it has all the elements, including
the trailer
that makes you feel like it's going to be magic, like Slumdog Millionaire was magic.
Absolutely.
But this doesn't quite get there. But it's good.
It's good. Still worth a watch.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. All right, thank you, Mr. Movie.
All right, guys. See you next week.
When we come back on the Murph and Andy Show, there are now Nat fans.
Favored responsibly.
Hi, I'm Tom Coach, Director of Consumer Credit of Des Moines, Iowa's largest credit counseling agency for over 30 years. Recently, a client, I'll call Joe, came to us with over $38,000 in credit card debt and interest over 24%. We reduced this to 3.5%, saving him a net of $92,000. If you find yourself stuck like Joe, give us a call at 515-287-6428.
I see store for details.
It is time now for the Andrew Downs audio drop of the day, the AD squared, and I've had a little preview of this, and it cracked me up, so I'm glad to share this with people.
Yeah, the Nationals are headed to the World Series. As we heard, the Nationals radio network say it's the first time the World Series will be played in the nation's capital since 1933, so we don't think of the Nationals the way we think of the Cubs. Obviously, the franchise hasn't been around as long, but there have been people who have been waiting their entire lives to see a team from D.C. make the World Series. NBC4 in D.C. was out on the street last night with the celebrating throngs of fans, and they found someone who he hasn't been waiting his whole life. It's just been a little less than that.
How long have you been a Nats fan for?
Since today.
Since today. Well, I guess if you have a reason to celebrate, right?
Just out there looking for the partiers. Boy, there's a couple of videos that emerged last night, and we've seen it. Andy, we've been a part of it. Boy, you drag a live camera and a microphone into drunk celebrating fans in the streets. The FCC needs to be put on alert.
Yeah, if you go live out there, if you just have, you're just recording it, it's risky. Right, I mean, just bringing the sight of the camera out there means chaos.
What news director was it at Channel 13 who made the great decision to stop doing live shots at the State Fair at 10 p.m.? Because that's a smart news director. Is that Rod Peterson?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know when that would have been. I don't remember that.
We used to go live at 10, and that was...
Yes, the back.
Hold your
come
breath.
Up in the back. Hey, what up, North Mahaska?
Where have you been?
All right, let's look at the quickie polls brought to us each day by WCI Pools and Spas. Today is no different. With what you now know, with what you know now, which bike ride across Iowa do you think you'll support? Ragbri, Iowa's ride, that's the new one, or the proposed new one, I guess, at this point. Both or neither, not my thing. 45% at this point say they'll support Iowa's ride. Even though it's never taken place, we don't know. 41% say neither, not my thing. That's my vote. 11% say Ragbri, and 3% say both. Okay, that is pretty polarized.
Jeez. I got half a mind to buy a bike and sign up for Ragbri just to fly in the face of everybody
just
else.
Just to be
a contrarian.
Right, there you go. That would be the contrarian thing. At least today, we'll see what it's like in 6 months.
That's right.
Of our choices, which movie featuring an actor who played multiple roles is your favorite? Austin Powers is first at 49%. Blazing Saddles, 34%. The Nutty Professor's 9%, and the Prestige is 8%.
It's a good movie. By the way, Doug Eklund, fresh off his perfect cake.
Yeah, what's he doing?
He said Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder.
Is he now, one role in that?
What's the other role? Because the role I'm picturing is the one I still can't believe Downey Jr. pulled off. Without getting more...
He's playing a black actor playing...
No, he's playing a white actor who has...
He's playing a white actor playing a black face, guy, right? Yeah. Well, it's not blackface, though, right? I mean, he's not doing a minstrel routine.
Well, but I mean...
He's playing a black guy. Yeah, he's colored his skin to play a black guy.
But I think he's, like, permanently done it, right? He's, like, tattooed his body, essentially... To be a black guy.
I can tell you this. They're not making that this year.
No. There's a few parts of that movie that they couldn't make anymore.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no kidding. There is. All right, that'll do it for us, huh?
Well, good news. Show. Because the Cardinals sucked in the NLCS, the Sports Fanatics are up next.